but you're more than welcome. And hope you're having a blessed Lord's Day so far. If you could all stand, we're all going to sing. If you could grab a hymnal, either blue or red, same thing, and turn to hymn number 432. We'll sing. On the first, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently, he will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them, tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Amen. Good singing. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that we get to meet. Thank you for all your goodness, Lord. Thank you for the help to be able to make it to church, Lord, and just to be amongst brethren, Lord. Thank you for the fellowship we've got to share, and just for all your goodness towards us, Lord. Thank you for salvation, Lord, and just the cleansing from sin, and the hope of heaven, Lord, and just that you're still on the throne, Lord. So we pray that you would just bless all that we do, Lord. I pray that the our words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart, Lord, would be acceptable in your sight. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd be with us today. And speak to us as you need to speak to us. Give the preacher liberty. And we just love you, Lord, so much. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. All right. We've got our memory verse for this month. Genesis 16:13. So we'll say it three times. And then we'll see what happens. Genesis 16:13. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. Genesis 16:13. Genesis 16:13. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. Genesis 16:13. Genesis 16:13. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. Genesis 16:13. All right, so that's our theme for this month, God sees us. And of course, that's Hagar speaking after the Lord spake unto her and he saw her troubles. And she acknowledged that and she said, Thou God seest me. Does anyone know it off by heart? You do?
Genesis 16:13. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. Genesis 16:13.
Amen. Does God see you? Amen. Praise God. Excellent. Lovely. Anybody else? Got a hand over here?
Genesis 16:13, when she called on the name of the Lord that spake unto her, No Lord sees, no God sees me. Genesis 16:13.
Amen. Very good. Was that a hand? No. Thou God seest me. Excellent. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro, right? Mm-hmm. Amen. So we've got birthdays. So we know of three birthdays this week running up until Saturday. So Bucky, Ole Tunji, goodness, how old is she now? She must be 20-odd. Wow. Happy birthday, Bucky. Caleb O'Keefe, it's his birthday. Are the Keefs here? And then Melita. Happy birthday, Melita. It's on Saturday. Very good. 21 with experience. That's what they say, isn't it? I might as well sing it. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Is there a zero, I was told to ask? I'm not supposed to ask a woman anything about it. Maybe soon, yeah, excellent. So no zero, okay. Just because there's another song, that's all, if so. Anniversary, Oleg and Olga. Very good. Is Olga here? Oh, Oleg, happy anniversary. I don't know how to say that in Russian, sorry. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. How many years is it? 8. What's that? Vosem? Vosem. Yes. All right. Excellent. Okay, well, happy anniversary. So we've got Bible Club coming up really quick. Was it like 3 weeks away? If you are able to help, we could do with all the help we could get. All right, so there's everything from setting up to just there's food, there's refreshments table, there's sports, there's teaching or just assisting the teacher. There's just general supervision. And oh, brilliant. Good. So, yes, tell everyone about it. If you know anybody, there's leaflets in the back. And we're just trying to encourage the kids, give them the gospel. And equip them. So just like Nehemiah was equipped, that's the team. There's kids under construction, and if they build their life on the Lord Jesus, when the storms come and everything, there won't be any great fall, right? Because Jesus will be their rock. Yeah. Amen. So we'll sing one more hymn. You can stay seated for this. This is just a hymn we've been learning this month for our missions team. Set my soul afire, Lord, set thy holy word. Burn it deep within me, let your voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this day and hour. I will be your witness. Very good. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Set my soul afire, Lord, for the lost in sin. Give to me a passion as I seek to win. Help me not to falter, never let me fail. Fill me with thy spirit, let thy will prevail. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Set my soul afire, Lord, in my daily life. Far too long I've wandered in this day of strife. Nothing else will matter but to live for thee. I will be your witness as you live in me. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Amen. Amen. So, with our Missions Month, we have a Missions Dinner or Banquet next Sunday. And Brother Stuart and Don Harvey will be with us. And just be a time of fellowship. He'll preach in the morning. And then we'll grab some food. So it says here, bring foods from around the world and spend time with the Harveys. So if you have a dish, something from your culture or things like that, we'd be delighted to taste it. Something spicy or something, anything. All the different things. So it'll be really nice. So sometimes you call it a potluck dinner or whatever. Just nice to taste all the different tastes and just fellowship and be together. And it'll be a little taste of heaven, right? So Missions Banquet next week. And Kresh, it says here, Ruth and Gina. So it's Kresh in here. Special scene. Obviously, the Sunday school is next door. But Sam is going to sing for us. Very good.
Let me see this world, dear Lord, as though I were looking through your eyes. A world of men who don't want you, Lord, but a world for which you die. Let me kneel with you in the garden. Blur my eyes with tears of agony. For if once I could see this world the way you see, I just know I'd serve you more faithfully. Let me see this world, dear Lord, through your eyes, when men mock your holy name, when they beat you and spat upon you, Lord, let me love them as you love them, just the same. Let me stand high above my petty problems and grief for man hell-bound eternally. For if once I could see this world the way you'd see, I just know I serve you more faithfully. For if once I could see this world the way you'd see, I just know I'd serve you more faithfully.
Amen. Amen. That's great. Right, the kids are just going to sing just before. Yeah. Such joy and energy. This thing is... All right, Brother Layton. So Brother Layton is with us all the way from Dublin. He made it down safely.
Well, how do you follow that singing? I don't know. It's not going to be easy. Well, good morning, everybody. How are all yous? I'm just playing for time here while I fix myself, okay? A microphone and stuff to get right. I'm here with my wife, Claire. Claire, stand up, can you? Everybody give Claire a round of applause. Thank you. I knew she'd hate that, so I decided to do that. But listen, great to be back down. Love coming to your church. So we are glad to be with us. If you hands up here, if you've never seen this handsome face before. Okay, Moses has seen us. Great. Okay, so we are the missionaries, the Kelly family. You'll see us next to the Irish flag there, best flag in the world, just so you know. And we serve up in Talla in Dublin. And we are missionaries to the addicted. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we are missionaries now. Does anybody know how long your church has been supporting us?
Yeah.
21 years. We are missionaries 21 years, and we have been supported by your church all that time. So well done. Bible Baptist Church, great stuff. Pastor asked me to come down and preach. I didn't know he wasn't going to be here, so that's one of them. I'm going to come down. I'll see you when you get here. And he's not here. But that's good. I hope he's having a good time, and he's probably in bed now. He's probably not watching us now anyway, but that's good. Well, listen, we are glad to be down. Lots have been happening. So just so you know what I do, I'm a missionary to the addicted. So my focus group is going to be who? The addicted. Listen, I love Holiday Bible Club. I got saved at Holiday Bible Club. Get involved in Holiday Bible Club. But I don't really do Holiday Bible Club. What do I do? addiction ministry. That's what I do. And anything else kind of gets me distracted. So just so you know, that's our focus. And we are out of a church called Lifegate Bible Baptist Church up in Talla. We serve under Pastor David O'Gorman. So let me tell you what we do. This is our verse. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. We believe that God can make anybody free, that there's no hopeless cases, that God can change anybody's life. That when God saves somebody, a God that's that big, when he moves into somebody's life, he makes a big difference. Shouldn't that be true?
Yeah.
So we need people, when they get saved, to really get saved. Not just pray a little prayer that won't change them, but we need to really get them to a place where they know who Christ is, that he can change them, he can save them, and he will get the glory for it, because we just can't do that ourselves. So let me show you what we've been doing. I'm a missionary now since the year me and Claire left Scotland in 2005. That's a long time ago. I ended up in Scotland because, you know, I was a drug addict in the past, made lots of bad choices when I was a teenager, ended up becoming a heroin addict and doing all the crazy stuff that comes with that. And I got right with God, and I'd been saved at Holiday Bible Club when I was a kid. I got right with God, and God transformed my life. He used people to help me, but it was him that done it. And always remember that people help us, but God does the changing. And when you go around and you're trying to be a witness, you do what you can, but it's God that has to do the work. Always remember that. We need God. So New Hope Residential Center, our mission, I suppose, is to preach the gospel, reach people with the gospel. Then it's to disciple people. And then we want to see them go out and be a witness in their communities, in their churches. And what you will find up at New Hope is, most of the staff at New Hope that are serving in the ministry are people that have been saved in our ministry, gone through, being disciple, and now they serve in the ministry and in the church. So in our church this morning, our song leader would have been Jason. I have Jason's some of Jason's leaflets at the back on the table, and you'll see Jason's story in it. Jason's a song leader now in our church. He was a heroin addict when he came into our Friday night program, then came into our New Hope Residential Center, and finished the program. He now works for us. He's married, all that kind of stuff. And he is the song leader in our church. God can take people, and it just seems like he was so shy and so recluse. You think, you know, what's God ever going to do with him? And now God has him standing up on a Sunday morning leading the singing in church. What a wonderful thing that is. So really, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to see people saved, disciple them, and then get them to be a light in their community. Because, you know, it's not just good enough to get saved, isn't it? And then get in church and get discipled. What do you need to go then and do? What did the kids sing about a minute ago? Be a missionary. You need to go in your community. You need to go around your neighborhood. You need to go into your most part of the world. We will get there in a few minutes. New Hope Residential Center is up in Talla. We are on 3.5 acres of land we owned. And a wonderful, wonderful place. It's lovely in the summer, nice in the winter, but it's, you see at its best when it's in the summer. And we would love you, if you're passing, to pop in for a cup of tea. We do like visitors, so pop in anytime you're passing. And if you ever go to Dublin, you have to pass by us. Do you know the City West exit on the N7? We are just off the City West exit, less than 5 minutes off the City West exit. You would be in New Hope. And we always have tea. Always have tea, okay? So you're more than welcome to pop in and see what we do. It's not just me. We now have a team of people. New Hope Residential Center, obviously, is a 24-hour of the day. We never close. We don't go home for Christmas. The men don't leave. So our ministry is all the time. You know, it's a bit different than your church planting ministry, in that, you know, we are open all the time. We are doing classes, 3 classes a day. We are doing a work program, all that kind of stuff. It's a busy, busy place. It takes a lot of people. It's not just myself, okay? We're located in Talla. The main New Hope Residential Center houses 16 men, and they stay there for a year, okay? It's a 12-month program, and say, why does it take so long? Why is a program so long, 12 months? That's a long time. You're absolutely right. It's a long-term residential program. I can detox somebody off crack cocaine or heroin or methadone or whatever in a couple of weeks. And after a month, maybe they'll be back sleeping mostly, and the 3 months they're back to themselves. But I think it takes us a long time to grow and change. People have been in the lifestyle of addiction, have been there normally for many, many years. And we want to work with them so they get the best chance going forward that they can get. So we have a long-term residential program. We also have, outside of New Hope, we have some houses. We'll show you that in a minute. So currently we house 25 men, okay? So it's a lot. 25 men that come from addiction backgrounds. That's a lot of problems. Not just their problems, but the problems they give us, okay? That's a lot of problems. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of opportunity. We get to teach the Bible to people that have never heard the Bible before. We get to put a Bible in the hands of everybody that comes into the center, gets a Bible. And for most people, they have never had a Bible before. Most people have never held a Bible before. And they wouldn't even know one Bible verse when they come in. You know, they wouldn't know the Bible has 66 books on the book of maps. You know, they wouldn't know that. And wouldn't know anything about it. Wouldn't know John 3:16. They've maybe seen it on the Gaelic where the guy holds it up, and they'll, but they've never wouldn't know what it is. And let me tell you, it's so exciting when you're teaching people the Bible that don't know the Bible stories. And what a wonderful thing it is. So it's a great opportunity and a privileged position that we're in. So we have about 10 staff. We have a charity shop in Dundalk as well. I don't know whether I ever say that, but we have a charity shop in Dundalk. Lots of volunteers. It takes a lot to keep it going. We have to have staff there every night, so we have to have somebody stay over every night. So it takes a lot of resources to do it. And how the program works out, when somebody first comes in, they can come in to us on drugs. So a crack cocaine addict can come in, a heroin addict, somebody on methadone, alcohol, whatever they might be on, they can come in on that, and we will detox them in the center off whatever they're on. Isn't that a good thing? Where they don't have to get well before they come to us. That's important. So we're able to do that. That we do that normally in the first month that happens, and then they're off drug free, and then they're on the what we call the program in a sense. And a program goes from 1 to 6 months, where they're in classes every day, they're in devotions every day, they're in church every time it's open, all that kind of stuff. They're learning a work ethic in the afternoons. They're gardening, building stuff. Show you a little bit about that now. And then at 6 months, if they're doing well, we will get them ready for employment, so they will still be living at New Hope, but they'll go out to work and work jobs. And it slowly gets somebody back into society. When they're in New Hope, we have a no smoking rule. You say, that sounds cruel. You have to get them off drugs and smoking. Remember our verse, if God can make somebody free, they can be free indeed. I believe God can make people free of everything. So we do it all together. They're not allowed a mobile phone. So when they come in, they have to give up the mobile phone. Any has ever give up your phone for a day? No. Oh, God can make me free until you touch the mobile phone thing. Oh, yeah. God can make you free of that too. God can make you free of that too. So no mobile phones. They use the office phone and phone and family. But no mobile phones for 6 months. Let me tell you, for 6 months, you say, I thought that would kill somebody. It's never killed anybody at New Hope, just so you know. Never even one time. It's been close, but it's never actually killed anybody. But at 6 months, then they get their phone back. They're allowed to have their money back in their possession. We keep that stuff for the time that they're with us. And they're out working jobs, but they're still coming back every day after work. They're still in the program. And then at 12 months, then they move down to one of the other houses that we have, which we'll show you now. And then graduation at 12 months. This was just a snapshot of people. The date doesn't really matter. It was quite a while ago when we done the slide. But the statistics are normally fairly similar when you have a group like this. They have a lot of children between them. This group had 40 kids between them that were in. You know, they've all been homeless normally at one stage or another. They've all been in prison or been before the courts. You know, normally the statistic is about 60% that grew up in a broken home where mother or father wasn't there, or mother and father and one of them had an addiction or a mental health issue, but there was like a broken home. It wasn't kind of normal at home. That would normally be a statistic that would be accurate. We have seen a change. When I started New Hope, most people coming into New Hope are heroin addicts, because that was my background. Now we rarely see people. We have one coming in this week, but it's rare to see a heroin addict coming in. There's not a whole lot of them left, in a sense. It's crack cocaine and tablets is what the big thing is at the moment. We have a crack epidemic up where we are. It's just like everybody's on crack cocaine. So it's very different. Drug trends change over time, and that's what we've seen. That's where we're at the moment. When we founded New Hope in 2007, I had moved from Scotland to be a missionary in 2005. In 2007, we had started our Friday night program like you used to, and we had lots of people coming. Myself and Claire would take addicts into our home. We would detox them and help them, all that kind of stuff. And then the Lord led us to open up our own residential center in 2007. And that was the starting of New Hope Residential Center. This was the building when we first arrived. You will notice that the curtain's hanging out a window because there's no glass in the windows. We like to do a hard up on Tala. All this glass was broke here. There was no copper in the place. All that kind of stuff was stripped out. It was a very derelict building. And this was the other building across. This was a burned out building. So this is what we started with back in the day. And, you know, Job says, though thy beginning was small, yet in the latter end thou shalt greatly increase. I couldn't have told you when I surrendered to come to Ireland to serve the Lord over in Ireland all that God would do. I just knew God wanted me to do that. I didn't know how it was all going to work out. What was my responsibility? To just go. Whose responsibility was to make it all happen? God's. If God called you to go, you're responsible for going. He's well big enough to work out the rest of the details, okay? You can trust God. This was a burned-out building, and now that's what it looks like today. The Lord allowed us, with the help of your church, who gave great, generous gifts in 2015 when we needed to buy our building or we were getting put out. The landlord had gone bust, and he needed to sell. So in 2015, New Hope, the charity of New Hope, was able to buy the buildings that we have here and the 3 acres of land. Now, listen, you know the price of property. We paid, I think, 290,000 for 3 acres of land and the 2 buildings that you see in Tala. Okay, so that's Dublin prices. Okay, the Lord really blessed what we done, and He provided the money through local churches and individuals. God is still able to meet the needs of the works He starts, and you can always depend upon God. Okay. And again, very proud to fly the flag, okay? What do we want? We want the men that come into New Hope to respect and love the country that God has had them born in, and to treat it well, because oftentimes they haven't treated it well, and we want to encourage them to be, really respect and love the communities that they're from, instead of being a taker from the community to then become a giver in their communities, okay? To be an asset. So this is just some pictures of the New Hope buildings. We're surrounded by lovely trees. We have a lovely field out the back. That's an old playground. We're in the middle of building a new one. This is one of the houses that we owned. So we own two three-bedroom houses, and the council gave me a three-bedroom house, okay? And this is one of them. So 3 guys share this. It's a duplex, so we own the red brick bit. And 3 guys share that property. It's a lovely property. Okay. 3 guys share that. So when they finish the 12 months, they can move in there. They're working or in college, and it gives them that next step before they're in on their own. And it takes a little bit to do that. And it's not easy to find housing in Ireland at the moment, is it? That's a challenge for us. Okay. This is the other 2 properties that we owned. And they're all within 10 minutes walking distance of New Hope. So they're very close together. Okay. So that's how we house 25 altogether. And just after Christmas, just before Christmas, we got the bottom building on the left. That is now our pool room. And it hasn't got a swimming pool. It's a pool table. Just before you go getting excited, okay? It's a pool table room. and a seating area so families can come and visit. We can use that as a visiting room, but it is the pool room. It's a lovely room. Let me tell you, lovely room. And then in February, March time, Microsoft, some of you will have heard of Microsoft before. Microsoft, John Paul Construction, and Dorrance, they're all big building companies. Between the three of them, they donated this building in the top. And it is, I should have put a video on it. It's our new classroom. It has toilets. It has a family visiting room, which is absolutely spectacular. The quality of the building is absolutely amazing. It has glass all the way around the building. So the classroom itself is really big. It's lovely to do class in. It's been a huge asset to what we do. And that is now where we had porta cabins there, and they're gone. It's on the old tennis court. We're probably one of the only houses in Tala that had a tennis court back in the day. But anyway, no tennis anymore. But that's the new classroom and the new pool room. Huge additions to what we've done in the past year. So the Lord has really blessed what we've been doing. For the past few years, you will have noticed in our prayer letter, we've been praying about another building. And the other building is a 5-bedroom house on a 1/2 acre of land. And it's at the bottom of our field. Okay. So we own this big field and it's at the bottom corner of the field. And the neighbors love us and we love them. And we're great neighbors and they were great neighbors to us. And we always had a good time and helped them whenever we could. And they would come to our barbecues and all that kind of stuff. Right. Well, unfortunately, the father died and the mother was left in the house and she couldn't manage a 5-bedroom house where it was with all the gardens and stuff. So the family asked if we were able to buy it. Now, I looked in my pockets and my pockets didn't have enough money to buy it. Okay. But because we're what's called an approved housing body, an AHB, the council were able to buy the property for us. Now, listen, in case you think we have loads of money. The council bought the property for €650,000. And it's built in 1930 and really nothing much has been done to it since then. So I'll show you what we're doing to it now. Now, we have to use it for helping people the way we do for 30 years. And then we own the property. But we don't have any repayments on the property. So the property is free. I don't pay a mortgage on it. But every year the mortgage on it, in a sense, goes down. And at the end of 30 years, New Hope Charity will own the property. Okay. So it's a great way of working for us. They don't give you any money to do anything in it. Like working with people, they just buy the building. And why do they do stuff like that? Because if they didn't, the men that would be living in that would probably be in hostels or in prison. And, you know, for one guy for a year in prison, it costs €55,000 to €75,000 in prison for 1 year. So it's a great investment for them to buy something like that and let a charity like us work with men in it, okay? So that's the new building. We don't have a name for it yet. So we are looking for ideas of a name, okay? So the extra 5 beds will bring us up to 30 beds. We take people from all over the UK and Ireland, anywhere really in Europe, but that's where most people come from. Just so you know where it is, New Hope owns it. New Hope owned it, everything in the yellow box. That's the N81 that runs parallel to the N7 that you drive up when you're going on your holidays to the airport, okay? And the blue square is the new property that we bought. Currently, if you want to get to New Hope, you have to drive in up here. That's a traveler's accommodation place just there. That's the road in. There's often a lot of rubbish and stuff on the road. We're buying the property down on the corner. You can't see it, but there's a road there beside that, and that's the old road. And we're able to use that as our new road. So we won't have to drive up the current road. We'll have our own private access. So then we'll own the whole block, which is really, really exciting for us. We can't wait for that. But you can see it's attached to the property, okay? It's attached to what we do. There's just a bit more of an aerial view. So we've started to strip it down. Now, when we started pulling stuff apart, we didn't know how we were going to fund everything. The council were going to give us a grant to do some of the work, but never would have covered what we needed to do. So we were asking people in for quotes and experience. What do we need to do? Can we get away with just doing repairs on the roof? And a roofer came in, a roofer, he owns a roofing company called Crown Global Roofing. and his name is Owen O'Gorman, no relation to Pastor O'Gorman, from Wexford, I believe. And when he came around, he's a Christian man. He saw what we were doing and what the Lord was doing at New Hope, and he got very excited and wanted to get involved. And on one walk around, meeting the guy for the first time, he said, "Layton, I want to put a new roof on the building for you." And like, I was thrilled, you know, new roof on the building. You know how much a new roof is going to cost in Ireland. Then he says, "You know what, I'll pay for your scaffolding to get put up." That was really exciting too. Then he says, "I'll pay for your windows and doors." So, you know, then he said, "You know what, the guys are going to be cold. So we'll pay for the whole house to be wrapped." So he's paid for all of that. And we'll see some of the work going on. So when the building is finished, it will have a brand new roof. It will be wrapped. It looked like a brand new building. As a matter of fact, the only thing that's left in it currently was the walls. We took everything else away. So that was the roof. Then we took everything off the roof and we were left. Thankfully, it didn't rain. you thought God was blessing your prayers with the sun. It was because we didn't have a roof down in Talla is why we're getting the sun, okay? So we really stripped it down to the bare bones. Took all the floors up, so it's underfloor heating going in. We're good at wrecking stuff and pulling stuff up and breaking stuff, so this was easy for us. It's putting stuff back together, that's the problem. So that's the starting of the new roof. Very exciting. And the new windows and doors went in. That was the first lay of the roof. And that is the roof finished. So it's a real modern roof. This guy Owen, God just touched his heart. And let me tell you, when God touches your heart, money doesn't matter. The cost of what he was going to have to do didn't matter. He was going to do what he could do to help a mission organization to improve. And he could see the vision of helping more people. So wonderful, wonderful thing that was done. Yous are all invited. Our New Hope Open Day fundraiser day is coming up. It's in the 5th of September. So we do a 24-hour cycle. Don't worry. We're not going to ask you to cycle for 24 hours, okay? We'll do it, okay? And what we do is we have exercise bikes at New Hope. We start on Friday at 4 o'clock, and we cycle all the way to Saturday at 5 o'clock. We just take turns. And youth groups and different people around the country can take an hour if they want, and it saves us cycling. You could raise some money that way, and you cycle for the hour, and we don't have to. That's our big fundraiser of the year. We try not be asking all the time churches and stuff for money. We try not do that because I know everybody asks. God is able to meet our needs, and if God ever touches you to do something, you should always do it. But even if you don't pay for anything or do the fundraiser ends at 4 o'clock on the Saturday. We have a barbecue, face painting, or maybe 2 o'clock. We'll let you know. Bouncy castles, ice cream. We do everything. You get a tour to the center. It's a wonderful day. I would really, really recommend you come up for it. You would be really encouraged and blessed. If you have kids, they will have a good time. If you don't have kids, just grab a few from somewhere and bring them with you. Sure, the neighbors would be happy to get rid of them. That is up at New Hope on the 5th of September. And you're all more than welcome to join us. Okay, so that's us at New Hope. That's what's going on. Obviously, more than willing and happy for you to come. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Now, my dinner is booked for 2 o'clock. That's what I've been told. Somebody talked about having liberty. I'm all for that. But again, thank you for your support for our family, for praying for our family. All the kids are doing well. Lorcan is doing great. He hasn't had a seizure since his operation. So he's a very different child. We are absolutely thrilled with what God has done in young Lorcan's life. And it was Lorcan's birthday on Friday. He turned the fine age of 13. So he is 13 years of age. Just so you know, if you don't know me, I have 5 sons. And they range from 20 down to 13. They change every year in between. You have to figure the rest out yourself. So they're 20 and 13. The others are somewhere in between. Okay. So what we're going to look at is we're going to look at a very simple message this morning. We're going to look at keeping the main thing the main thing. And grab your Bible, Book of Luke, chapter 2. Do any of you ever struggle when you start doing something, you get distracted and you end up doing something else along the way and you're not doing what you're meant to do? You know, I have kids. You tell them to go clean their room and then you find them out in the back garden doing something different. You know, it's always the same thing. You start something, you get, it's easy to get distracted, isn't it? It's the same for us all. It didn't leave us when we grew up. You know, we got older. Most of us didn't grow up. That's the problem. But we get distracted. I want you to look at this verse, really, really great verse. Look at verse 49. And he said unto them, Jesus talking, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? So what's the passage? What's the story? What are we talking about there? Jesus, when he was what age? 12. Mary and Joseph lost him, didn't they? Yeah. Mary, one job. They had one job, and they got distracted and lost their son. Let me tell you, Jesus went missing, but he wasn't missing, was he? What was he doing? He was in the temple, wasn't he? He was learning. And I had to be about my Father's business. So, great verse for us. Listen, you know what I do. I'm up there every day at New Hope. That's my ministry. That's what we do. We're outreaching people. We do a lot of out on the streets ministry. Then we're in the residential center. Most of the time, my time is spent in the office talking with people. It's in class teaching people. That's really where my time goes. But let me tell you, over the years, we have tried to start a number of different little businesses or ventures up at New Hope. Let me give you some of them. You will think this is exciting. We at one time got 20 turkeys. And we had this great idea. We'll fatten them up. And come Christmas, we'll kill them and sell them. Good business. It seemed that way until everybody got attached to the old turkeys and we couldn't. So that didn't work out too well. Another time was we start washing bins for a bin company. That was a dirty business, but we didn't do that for too long. It was just too much work for us. It was just distracting us. Another time we tried to sell cars as a business. Another time we were thinking of doing a fish business, and one of the guys on the program started working for a fishmonger, and he was going out doing all that stuff. That didn't work either. Another time we went and we were looking at starting a chicken farm and selling eggs around the doors. That didn't work out so well. Our chickens got eaten by a fox. Then we for a while we got bikes donated to us by the guards, and we were doing up secondhand bikes and selling them on. It was keeping us busy but not really making any money, and the purpose of the business was to make money for the center. Another time we got pigs. Years ago we got pigs. And we had these mighty plans of living off bacon for the rest of our lives, starting off with 3 pigs. Let me tell you, we couldn't get somebody to kill our pigs, and our pigs ended up with a local farmer. Another time we sold women's clothes. You say, Leighton, that's a strange one. Now you're going too far selling women's clothes. When we were buying the building at New Hope, I don't know whether you remember, we got massive donations of brand new women's clothes. And for a time, we spent selling women's clothes, not modeling them, just selling them. Okay. And that's what we've done. Another time, we're doing Christmas decorations. Another time, we explored doing snails and selling them. It sounds fancy. Escargot or something like that is the name of it. Sounds fancy until you see the snail. That didn't work out for us. So, all great ideas. But you know what I found? Ideas and doing different things can distract you from doing the main thing. And that's what I found. And what you always need to remember is you need to remember that you keep the main thing the main thing. And whether you're a teenager and you're in school or you're in college and you're meant to be studying, and maybe you have this great boyfriend or great girlfriend, you're in college, what's the main thing? Your studies. Okay? Always keep the main thing in life, whatever you're doing. And, you know, in 21 years of ministry at New Hope, I have found that things that take your focus, take your time, they take your energy. And do you know God only gives us 24 hours in a day? He only gives us 7 days a week, and one of them are meant to be using as a day of rest. You know, he only gives you so much energy. You have to go to sleep at night. You know, you only have enough energy to put into certain things. So you need to be selective and careful about what you're doing. you need to be careful with your time management. Now, I'm still open to some crazy ideas along the way, and I'm sure we'll tip our toe into some more, but we always need to make sure that we're keeping the main thing the main thing, that I don't get distracted by what I'm doing. A friend of mine's a missionary, not in Ireland, a different country, and he's a missionary similar to me, doesn't have a residential center, but goes around to addicts' houses and talks to them and helps them to get some help and stuff like that. But in his time, over many years, he's such a faithful guy, he ends up being asked to do a lot of holiday Bible clubs and churches and stuff like that. So every summer, basically, he's going around. He does a great job, right? Great job doing them. But he's come to the realization that he shouldn't do them. And this year, he's learned to say no. I can't do them. Is there anything wrong with doing holiday Bible club? Absolutely not. It's a great ministry. But it has to be the ministry that God wants you to do. But if you're giving up doing what you're meant to be doing for doing something different because it's new or shiny or it's happening now, let me tell you, you're being distracted. And he realized the lesson. He had to say no. Sometimes even the good stuff you need to say no, you need to focus where God wants you to focus on. God uses your gifts and your talents in a certain area. Make sure you're using them in the right area. You know, Jesus says, I must be about my Father's business. You know, that word business is a great word. And it comes from the word busyness. And, you know, there are some great Bible verses. You jump to Deuteronomy 24 with me. Deuteronomy 24. Back to your Old Testament. This is a great verse. Deuteronomy 24 says that, I'll give you a couple of seconds to get there. You need to get there quicker. Deuteronomy 24, look at verse 5. The Bible talks a lot about what business people are in. It talks about business, being busy. It says this in verse 5. When a man had taken a new wife, I presume it's his first wife, he shall not go to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free to go home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, which he had taken. Now, I don't know about you, but this always makes me laugh when I read this verse. This poor woman, after getting married, needed cheering up, okay? I'm not sure it's meant to be like that, but what's the idea? He needs to focus, what, on his family that first year. Isn't that important? Now, you know, the government's not going to give you, and your boss is not going to give you a year off when you get married around like that, but you need to make sure that first year you're very committed to building your relationship with your new husband, your new wife, and that you don't get distracted. That is the main thing that year. In Thessalonians, it says this, and that ye should study to be quiet and to do your own business and the work of your own hands as he commanded you. What does God tell you? Learn to be quiet, study to be quiet, and do your own business. What do we have a tendency to do? Look at everybody else's business. And let me tell you, stick to your own business. Anybody ever tell you, mind your own business? They ever tell you that? They shouldn't have to tell you that, right? But if they do, maybe mind your own business. But we need to stick to what we're meant to do. You know, go to Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 16 with me. Book of Romans, chapter 16. Book of Romans 16 talks about, Paul's talking, he's talking about Christian lady, her name is Phoebe, and she's working in the church there. She's serving in the church, it tells us in verse 1. Then in verse 2, it says that you need to receive her and you need to assist her in whatever business that she had. Whatever she needs help with, you need to help her with it. Why? Because she had been a securer of many and also of myself. Well, that word there, securer, what does it mean? It means to provide relief, aid, or comfort in times of distress. So what was this woman known for? Helping needy people, helping people that had problems. And what did Paul say? She met my needs when I was there. Whatever that girl needs, you make sure you help her out. That's a good thing. Let me tell you, allowing the Lord to use you in the service of others is a high calling in your life. Don't get distracted doing other things when God calls you to be a servant and serve people and help needy people. It's a high calling. Let me tell you, get involved. You know, jobs have always been an important thing in the Bible. You know, sometimes it's the first thing people will ask. Do you remember the story of Job? The mariners, the sailors on the ship, what's the first thing they ask him? You know, what's your occupation? Why? Because you can tell a lot about somebody by their occupation, by what they do. And they asked Job, what's his occupation? Because he was endangering them all. You know, when Paul was in the book of Acts, chapter 18, he lives with Aquila and Priscilla. Why did he live with them? The Bible tells us because they were of the same craft. They were what? They were tent makers. You know what? Isn't there a connection that can be made with people that work along the same jobs as you? Do you think that's something that God could use in your life? Let's say you're a mechanic. What could God use you to talk to people about that you could maybe turn the conversation to the gospel about? Cars. You know, God can use the business that you're in to be a help to you in his service. You know, did Jesus have a job? I mean, Jesus is the example, okay? So did Jesus have a job, or was he on the social welfare of some kind? Was he working, or what was he doing? He had a job as a carpenter. Now, is that true, or do you know his father, Joseph, was a carpenter, and you think he was a carpenter? Let's turn to the book of Mark for a minute. Mark chapter 6. You see, you are going to be known by what you do. In the book of Mark chapter 6, I'm going to show you. It does tell us what Jesus' job was. We're all there. The rustling has stopped. Look at verse 3. And this is what was said. Is this not the carpenter? So what was Jesus? A carpenter. He was a chippy, okay? He was on the tools, is what you call it, on the building site. That's what he done for a living. That's how he provided for himself. But what was his business? Doing the father's business. So you can do something for a living. That's how you make an income. And that's what you should do. That is right. But let me tell you, the reality is that you are called to a different business as a Christian. Yeah, what you do as a job is great, but you're called to be something else and do something else. You know, in Matthew 22:36, it tells us that the greatest commandment, verse 37, tells us that we should love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all thy mind. What happens is your love for God will dictate what you do. Your love for God will dictate if you are willing to go and serve, or you're willing to turn up, or you're willing to give the gospel to people, you're willing to serve in the ministry, you're willing to help people. Everything you do will be stemming from that. You can get people by, motivation, by encouraging them for a time to serve, but they won't stick at it. What will help people to stick at it are love for God. Why? Because they're not doing it for themselves. They're not doing it for man, what people can see. They're doing it for God. If you get to that place where you're doing what God wants you to do because of your love for God, let me tell you, it's a lifelong business you'll be in. And it won't be a big task for you to do it. It will just flow naturally. You just know the verse, Acts 1:8. You'll be able to quote it with me. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and into the utmost part of the earth. So that verse tells us that we need to go and be witnesses. Well, what is a witness? I've been in lots of courts. I've been in court myself for crimes that I've done, but I've also been in court many times with men that I've been helping. And let me tell you, when somebody gets called to be a witness, what have they got to do? We'll talk about that in a minute. You know, God is a missionary-minded God, and although you have a business, he wants you to call you to be involved in his business. But not just being a witness here in Ballincollig, that's great. But he also tells us we need to be a witness in Cork, in all of Ireland, and then all the world. And we need to make sure we understand that reaching the world with the gospel or the Great Commission is not just a mission here in our local area. We're called to reach the world. It's a big calling. But thankfully, God is a big God and he is able. And you need to go to him and find out what you're responsible for and what your part in that Great Commission is. You know, if you like reading books, there's a great book that I read years ago called Just What the Doctor Ordered by Walter Wilson. Any of you ever heard that before? He was a doctor, and he would be able to, he was a medical doctor, and he would get people to the point where he would just be able to turn the conversation that he was in from talking about medical issues or whatever, and he would always turn it to the gospel to give him a gospel opportunity. And this is what it says about him. Whatever activity was occupying him at that moment, he was always seeking a lost soul whom God had prepared to receive the gospel. His mindset, no matter what he was doing or what treatment he was given out, was always, how can I find somebody that God's been working on their heart? Because that's important. The marvel is not that God sends some people to hell, but the marvel is that God would take anybody to heaven. Because he knows us, and he still wants us to go to heaven. Let me tell you, God is a loving God who he's come to seek and to save that which is lost, and he wants to use you in that work. You need to get to the place where you ask him to use you. Be available. Ask him to empower you to do God's work. It's the work he said we need to do. So what can we do? We can go back to, and God say, God, lead me to somebody that you're working on today. God, give me the power. Give me the words to say. How should I approach this person or this situation? Expect that God can use you. Find a way of personal evangelism that works for you, because it's not the same for everybody. Sometimes churches have this thing where we do evangelism and that's our evangelism. Let me tell you, there's lots of different ways of doing evangelism. You need to find a way that works for you, but you do need to have a way that you're doing it. You do need to have a way that works. You do need to, whether that's in children's ministry, whether that's street preaching or knocking doors, giving out tracts, whether that's you hosting Bible studies and teaching people that way, or that's you just getting people to church. Some people are just really good at inviting people to church and helping people to get through the doors. Let me tell you, whatever way works for you, just be doing something. One day, a lady criticized D.L. Moody for the methods of his evangelism in attempting to win people to the Lord. Moody's reply was, I agree with you. I don't like the way I do it either. And he says to the lady, he says, tell me how you do it. And the lady replies, I don't do it. And he says, well, then I like my way of doing it better than your way of doing it. Okay. And that's always important. Let me tell you, it's very easy to look at what somebody else is doing to be critical of it when you're sitting there not doing that in yourself. Let me tell you, get busy. Find a way that works for you. God, our personalities are all different. We're not all street preachers. We're not all able to knock on a door and, you know, that work out for us. But that's not us all. Like, that's just the truth. Some of us are real quiet, caring people that you will be able to get a connection with people that I never will, because I'm bold and brash and, you know, I have this angry looking face all the time. You know, that's just the way it is. Okay. God has me doing something different. You need to find a way that God can use you, a way that works, a way that you can get the gospel out there and reach people in your community. We're nearly done. What does a witness do? A witness tells what he knows. If you're saved, you can be a witness. Tell what you know. Your disciples testified of things they knew to be true about Jesus. That's all you need to do. A witness shares what they've experienced, not what somebody else has told them. So when you're going to be a witness, you're only required to share what God's done in your life. You don't need to say, well, you know what? Forget about me, but Pastor Ledbetter has this testimony where God called him from Texas, of all places. And they didn't even let his horse come on the airplane room. He came all the way from Texas and his cowboy boots and cowboy hat. And he got here and he's been here serving the Lord faithfully for all these years. It doesn't matter what Pastor Ledbetter's testimony is. Let him give that. You give your testimony. God saved you for a purpose. God can use your life. You know, go to 1 John. We'll finish with these. 1 John chapter 1. Read through a couple of verses and we will be done. Well before 2 o'clock, okay? Book of John's not that big, come on. But a witness shares what he has experienced. 1 John chapter 1. It says this, that which was from the beginning, which ye have, that we have heard, which we have seen with our what? No, it doesn't just say eyes, own eyes. That's the thing, your own eyes. What have you seen? What have you experienced as a Christian? What have you seen God do in your life and the lives of those around you, which we have looked upon and with our hands have handled the word of life? You've seen God's word work in your life. It can work in other people's lives. For the life was manifest and that we have seen it and bear witness and show you the eternal life, which was with the Father, which was manifest unto us. Look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare unto you. You have seen and heard. And what do you need to go and do? Declare it unto other people. Declare what? That ye also may have fellowship with us, and our truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And all these things are right unto you, that your joy may be full. What a blessing it is when you're able to share God's word with somebody. Let me tell you, it's a wonderful thing. Not just that you've seen, but that you've experienced what God's done in your life. You know what? I hope you know God wants to work through your life. I hope you know that God wants to use your testimony. I hope you know that, you know, God wants you to be a witness for him. That's what he called you to be. If you don't feel fully equipped, let me ask you the next question. Are you being prepared to be equipped? If you're not comfortable, I hope you're showing up to the training that was on last week. I hope you're asking for help. You're asking for tools. Get yourself ready. Get involved. Luke 2 encourages, what does Jesus say? I must be about my Father's business. Let me encourage you, church. The question for us all is, are you about your Father's business? And if not, is it not time that we are about our Father's business? It's a high calling on our lives. God rescued us, saved us from our sin, gave us a home in heaven that we're going to one day. And there are so many that need to know. Are you one of them that God could use to know the gospel? John, I'll turn it back over to yourself.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thanks for letting. Amen. So that's food for thought. If you could all stand and we will sing. And then we'll pray. Amen. Passion for Souls, 306. On the first. Give me a passion for souls, dear Lord, a passion to save the lost. Thy love were I all adored and welcomed at any cost. Jesus, I long to be winning men who are lost and constantly sinning. Oh, may this hour be one of beginning the story of pardon to tell. Though there are dangers untold and stern confronting me in the way, willingly still would I go nor turn, but trusting for grace each day. Jesus, I long to be winning men who are lost and constantly sinning. Oh, may this hour be one of beginning, the story of pardon to tell. How shall this passion for souls be mine? Lord, make out the answer clear. Help me to throw out the old lifeline to those who are struggling and near. Jesus, I long to be winning men who are lost and constantly sinning. Oh, may this hour be one of beginning, the story of pardon to tell. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the message, Lord, to keep the main thing. And the main thing is souls, Lord, that need to be saved. And I just thank you, Lord. For those of us who are saved, Lord, we do have a testimony, and it's a precious thing, Lord. It's a story of how we went from darkness to light, Lord, and how we were taken from the miry clay, Lord, and set upon a rock, Lord. And I pray you'd help us to share that with someone, Lord. I pray that you'd bring someone across our path this week, Lord, and that you would prompt us by the Holy Spirit, Lord, just to say something, to open our mouth, Lord, and to speak with boldness, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would not grieve the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would do what it is that you would have us to do. It's going to take some courage, Lord, but Jesus said you only need a little faith, Lord, mustard seed kind of faith, Lord. And it can move mountains because it's not anything that we do, Lord, or any of our strength, Lord. It's all of yours, Lord. So I pray that you would challenge us this week with that, Lord, and that we would be determined, Lord, to share the good news of the gospel, Lord, with somebody, and just be part of the Great Commission, Lord, as we are commanded. So we just pray that you bless our day, Lord. Help us to just enjoy the day, Lord, with family and friends and whatever it is that we're going to do during the day, Lord. But we wouldn't forget, Lord, this week, Lord, and for the rest of our lives, Lord, that we would keep the main thing, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Ensemble practice as well.